This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the TFA Dino Show, episode like 52 now. We're rolling, we're chugging along. No Tom joining me tonight, so I went to the bullpen and pulled an old buddy, an old relief pitcher, and actually a starting pitcher as the host of the Dynasty Happy Hour, Doug Eddy, the Fantasy Father, Dougie Fresh, the Pool Master. What's
That's
going
right.
on, man?
Oh man, it is. It's going. I'm in the second wave of rookie drafts. My rookie drafts are done, but as you know, Robbie, the rookie auctions are going to start, and I am pumped. So I don't have any. I haven't done any rookie auctions. I got three of them coming up. All my rookie drafts are pretty much done. So having a little break in between, you know, living the pool life, getting that open. Been a busy month with family commitments and all sorts of stuff. But yeah, I'm out here in Rhode Island. Just been nice weather. No complaints out here.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I actually haven't done any rookie mocks yet. I commish a lot of the leagues I'm in. John Bosch finally like passed all of his leagues over to me to commish. He's like, no, I don't want to do those anymore.
Right.
And then I just do a lot of the other ones on my own. And I said, instead of figuring out all these different dates for one, I just want to do them all at once. And I know that's going to be hellacious for me, who's going to be doing 8 to 10 of them in a week span, right? But
yeah,
it's just from a planning standpoint, so much easier to just go all in one bucket. So June, I think it's the week of June 4th. I think that's that Monday. That's going to be, or June 6th. It's going to be my hell week, but also
yeah,
a great
I'll be on
week.
A cruise June 10th, so that'll be fun.
Good. Bar tab. Hopefully you don't have any more money to spend.
No, I got the monies, but I, you know what? I bought the internet package because my mother-in-law is going to be watching the kids and she needs a way to get in touch with us. So you think, oh, Doug ain't paying attention. He'll be on a cruise. Yeah, I'll be paying attention. You don't need to worry about that. I'll
yeah.
be getting them deals. I'll be sniffing them deals out. Give me some.
You always do. You always find somebody. And so we're not talking rookies tonight. Well, we might. They're going to be a part of this Superflex startup mock draft. And we know it's startup season, right? All summer long, people are planning, how do I get more leagues? Resisting the urge to get more leagues. I got talked into one already that I've got coming up. So I'm excited to do this because it's going to help me prepare for my startups that are coming up here later in the summer. I don't know. Have you done any so far? Any mocks, anything like that?
So I've did a 16 best ball dynasty startup with James, Tyler, and a couple of buddies. Just a simple one on Sleeper. It's a lot of fun. All the rosters are absolutely stacked. It included rookies. So I got an idea. I know there's a lot of people out there like, you got any more leagues?
Yeah.
I want to give me some more leagues, Joe Rogan. There's people out there that, yeah, I can, that was, I was like, I'll do this league because it's best ball and it's no maintenance after you draft it. That's kind of where I'm at because I'm already in a ton of leagues. So I get asked all the time, hey, join this league. And I'm like,
I've got
all my rosters where I like them in all my leagues and where I can maintain them. And I know what players are on what roster. I don't need to add anything else to the chaos.
You're in that sweet spot. You're in that absolute sweet spot.
I'm in my like 13 dynasty league sweet spot.
We're close. We're close. I'm right around there.
Yeah.
Maybe just over that when you add in some redraft, but do we count them? Do we count the redraft? I don't know.
Nah. They're so easy maintenance. That's once a week while, you know, you're in the bathroom on a Sunday morning.
Yep.
You're just setting your lineups. Good to go.
So, like I said, we are doing a startup mock draft here, and it's just going to be you and me and then the AIs doing the draft. And the reason I wanted just two of us in here is because we can then talk about these picks, talk about our strategy, because I think that's a big thing that people kind of overlook when they're doing it with 12 people. You only have 2 minutes on the clock, and you don't have enough time to dive into why you went this player over that player. What's your strategy if this guy went off the board? How do you pivot position to position, take best player available, all that strategy. And so maybe that's where I'm going to start, Doug, while I get this set up. Maybe start with just your general startup strategy. We're talking super flex. I think that's important to note. So are you looking at positions? You're drafting at the 106. I'll be drafting at the 112. You know, just overall thoughts as we enter a startup.
I did the last startup I did, well, like a full startup, was a couple of years ago. And my strategy was I wanted to target first and second year players. And outside of like the studs in the first couple of rounds, I wanted to start to get first and second year players on my roster. Now, that was a super flex league. And I took the strategy of really punting quarterback. I think the first quarterback I took was in round five, and that was Tua Tagovailoa. And I paired him with Jameis Winston super late when Cam Newton didn't have a team, and then he signed with the Pats. I got him super late. So, but what I was able to do, part of my super flex, I think people get really super caught up and you have to have at least two quarterbacks. I think that's a sound strategy. It's a tale as old as time, Beauty and the Beast, right? But I think the thing that people get caught up in is if you draft a deep roster and draft, you know, maybe get one stud quarterback in the beginning of your draft and then fill it in later. But if you get a deep roster, so this is my roster in this league. I've got Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback. Cool. I've got Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers at running back. Yoked. I got Jamar Chase in the rookie draft. I've got Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, Elijah Moore. So I have a really deep, solid, good roster. I actually didn't think I was going to have a great season last year, and I ended up finishing in fourth. So I think it's one of those things that if you hit on a later quarterback, you're in really good shape. So say you take Mahomes in the first, and then you wait another four or five rounds to take your second quarterback, depending on how the board is going. You can do that and just build a solid, deep roster, and you don't have to necessarily rely on that second or third QB. I know it sounds weird because everyone's like, you need two QBs right away. And especially, you know, we draft in Scott Fishbowl, and that's a super flex format. And it's almost always like there's 20 quarterbacks off the board by the 30th pick.
Right.
And that's very common in these super flex startups. So I think you can zig when they zag, and you can definitely take advantage of that, I think, because there's going to be a dead zone when quarterbacks don't go. And then if you start to get some of those guys later, and you know, one might be an okay starter, or one's like a rookie that, you know, one might be Zach Wilson that you get super late and maybe he makes a year two jump or whatever. Those are the shots I want to take late and then fill my roster with as many studs as possible. And in a startup, try to be as young as possible. You know, year one, year two, because then if you hit like I have in that league, you're going to be able to have a winning environment for a lot of years.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that part you said about the quarterbacks, especially because we had so many highly touted rookies that didn't quite live up to expectation. And so now you can get them later, right? Like everyone's bagging on Zach Wilson, right? They're a little bit warming up to him because of the weapons he got, but Justin Fields, same story, Trey Lance, similar story, right? Even Trevor Lawrence. So those are guys that I'm going to guess in this super flex format might not go until maybe the fourth, fifth ish round, maybe even further. So for a super flex, that's really good value for that second quarterback. I'm interested to see where they go. Again, we're going to have some AI, but it is set to two quarterback league rankings.
Yeah, this should be interesting. I'm looking forward to see what the bots do.
Yeah, exactly. So a little shout out to the chats. Walito popping in with the super chat. Appreciate that. Ashton's rocking with us. These are some of our main guys here at TFA that are doing mocks right now with us, redraft. They're jumping into the dynasty. So hopefully they got some dynasty startups coming their way and they can learn and see what we do right and see what we do
wrong. I might try to implore my strategy in this one just for S&Gs, as the kids say.
All right, let's kick this off. Let's make sure it starts off correctly. I'm going to click the button here and see if we're off and running.
Wow. I love the sound effects.
Oh, wow. Man. I had to mute the sound effects.
Sheesh. All right, so four quarterbacks off the rip.
And before you talk about your pick, and Doug, I think I can pause.
You should be able to.
The clock at some point here. Yeah, pause draft. But, I mean, we got plenty of time. Talk about these four quarterbacks going off the rip. I mean, I think Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes are two of the guys that it's kind of obvious. Justin Herbert's going into that realm. Maybe Burrow's a little bit of a reach there. But are you surprised? And do you think this is maybe indicative of some drafts that could happen in Superflex?
I think it is. I think, you know, Allen to me is going to be the 101 in most. I'm not shocked that Justin Herbert was the 102. I think with Mahomes losing Tyreek Hill, people, I don't know why you're concerned. Pat Mahomes, it's like Tom Brady when he had Rashaid Caldwell at receiver. Like, he still had like 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. It just doesn't matter. And he has talented players there. Burrow at three. That's a little spicy. I think I would probably still take guys like Lamar and Kyler over Burrow just because of the rushing ability. I think that this is a bit of a recency bias pick because they just went to the Super Bowl. They have Ja'Marr Chase. They did have additions to the offensive line, which I liked. But Burrow's not going to give you that rushing upside. So I would probably have Burrow, you know, probably as my QB six or seven.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's probably reasonable.
Yep, for sure. For sure. I think that's a little bit of a reach by bot number three. He is feeling that recency bias. And we saw the touchdown percentage for Burrow be astronomical. Normally that regresses back a little bit unless your name's Aaron Rodgers. So I'm curious to see how that happens here for 2022. Okay, you're up with only Jonathan Taylor as the non-quarterback off the board. So you really have your pick of the litter. Yeah, if we're looking at other non-quarterbacks, maybe you're still feeling a quarterback at this spot, though.
You know, I could go chalk here. Both Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson are both attractive. I could get the stud QB out of the way, or I could go with, you know, the dynasty wide receiver one or two. You know, You've got Ja'Marr and Justin Jefferson. Ooh, this is a tough one. You know what? I think I'm going to try to implore my strategy and see what I can create with quarterback here. Just for, like I said, just for S&Gs, because now I'm curious. So I am going to take Ja'Marr Chase at 106 and see where it leads to me in round two. It should be interesting.
So you like Ja'Marr Chase over Jefferson, who goes right behind him. If you're picking between those two, are you going to go Chase most often? Or are they really close?
I think just because I think Burrow's a better quarterback than Cousins. And the stability's there. And Chase, I mean, they're both it's really a coin flip between the two. Chase is a little bit younger, doesn't have as much wear and tear. I mean, that's kind of a factor too, I guess. But I think that Chase's ceiling, we saw Chase in year one beat Justin Jefferson's rookie records. You know, he could have an even bigger year too. So again, it's a coin flip, but I'm gonna go with the one that has the better quarterback between the two.
Yeah, and I wanted to go at the 112 because I think this one's a really challenging spot, right? You're not going to get any of the studs like right off the rip. And obviously, there's still great options here, but you don't get your easy pick like an Allen, Herbert, Mahomes. You're not going to get the top running back or the top two wide receivers. You're kind of almost at that next tier down, I would say. And the one pick I really that catches my eye here is Deshaun Watson. I think after a lot of that information we heard the information come out that they're not going to be doing any more criminal charges. It's now just at a civil charge standpoint. We're looking at maybe just a suspension for the 2022 season, or if all that's not resolved, maybe it's 2023 season, but I don't think it's dynasty. It's not going to have huge dynasty ramifications, right? So I think Deshaun Watson for me is a kind of a tier break after him in terms of quarterbacks. Cause we got to remember he's still 25 or 26. He might be 26. And so we're still talking about a really young asset here. And I think he's a quarterback that I need to take. Cause again, I'll go back to back picks, but then I won't have a pick for quite a while. So I need
to. Yeah. That's always the challenge on the turns, right? Like it's a hard strategy on the turn because you're going to have to really nail the picks because you're going to sit there and wait and watch a lot of players go off the board. So if you, don't read the room correctly, or, you know, it may be one of those things where you regret going in a way that you did because you have to wait so long.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a strategy where you lock up your two quarterbacks and feel good about them. You're going to be obviously weaker at the other positions, but I think for Russell's age, Jalen Hurts could be fantastic for this year, but there's still a lot of question marks going forward. I'm not a Lance guy, and some of these other guys I think I can get a little bit later. I'm going to hold off at quarterback. I think what I'm looking at here is maybe these top two running backs in Javonte, DeAndre Swift, and then for me, I think Kyle Pitts is in this conversation.
This is a tight end premium, correct?
Yeah. Tight end premium, I think, just to make it all even. So just to read off for everybody, we're doing super flex, so you have a quarterback, and normally your flex is going to be that second quarterback. two running back, three wide receiver, tight end with the tight end premium. And the three wide receiver and the tight end premium really kind of just level the playing field between your quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. I think it's the most fair positionally. And so that's why I'm considering Kyle Pitts here.
I think you have to consider Kyle Pitts because the age, the production in his rookie year, the touchdown regression, right? He's going to positively regress. He had, what, one touchdown last year, which is insane. Right. So don't be surprised, especially with the target share. I mean, they bring in Drake London, they trade for Bryan Edwards, and they have Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is going to see a ton of volume, whether it's from Mariota or Ridder, and I think his upside is just unbelievable. So you have to consider Kyle Pitts at the end of round one in a Superflex startup with tight end premium.
Yeah, Regina R. in the chat here is asking, you know, Superflex is 2QB. Can you play them at the same time? It's not 2QB. It doesn't force you to play a second quarterback, correct, but obviously strategic-wise, your quarterbacks are going to score the most points. It is very advantageous to have two quarterbacks. You're going to see quarterbacks be valued a lot higher than single QB.
Yeah, and especially
leagues.
Trying to trade for one.
Yeah.
Godspeed. Like, if you don't get them in the startup and you want to trade for one, you're going to have to give up a lot.
So looking at this from a dynasty perspective, we see tight ends go all the way into their age 32, 33 season. We saw it with Tony Gonzalez. We're seeing it with Travis Kelce. He's entering his age 33 season. Mm-hmm. We saw it with maybe Jason Witten to a lower extent and Antonio Gates to a lower extent. But I think I'm going to take that. Even though the running back I'm probably going to be hurting at initially, we know the running back shelf life isn't quite as long. We're starting to question their dynasty value at age 26, 27.
It's hard to build around running backs nowadays.
So I'm going to go here and take Kyle Pitts. And while you're thinking about your pick here, Doug, I'm going to read this off just for people when we post it to the pod that they can hear. We had four quarterbacks go off the top: Allen, Herbert, Burrow, Mahomes. Then we had the first running back, Jonathan Taylor, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson, with Chase going to Doug's team. Lamar Jackson and Dak also went in the first round, with Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson going to my team. Najee Harris was also in the first round. And then the second round was Kyle Pitts to me, Cooper Kupp, Javonte, CeeDee Lamb, Swift, Mark Andrews, who I think that's an interesting pick there in the second round. And now it's back to you here. What are you thinking?
This is interesting. So I'm looking at the trend of the teams that took a quarterback in the first round didn't take one in the second so far. So
hey,
talk
about that strategy real quick. Like, do you look at these teams' rosters this early where you're trying to guess if they'll take another quarterback?
I'm going to guess, because it's the AI and the bot, I'm going to bet that on the way back, they might take a quarterback, but I'm guessing I can get my starting quarterback and be pretty happy in round three if I chose to wait. What I'm thinking here, I mean, your best player available is Christian McCaffrey. We all know what he can do. Fantasy points per game didn't drop off at all in the last 2 years. He scored over 20 points a game. It's all about health. He's still young. I think he's 25 years old. It's hard to pass on McCaffrey here. Eckler, I like Eckler. He's probably like the RB2 in redraft this coming year.
Right.
But I have concerns around him as well. The Breece Hall, if I want to go year one and two, I'm not as sold on Breece Hall as a lot of people are. I think it's a weak draft class, so that elevated Breece Hall into being the clear-cut 101. I think in other years, he wouldn't have been.
Right.
You know, Wilson and Hurts, those would be nice pieces. A.J. Brown goes to Philly, not necessarily a passing offense. This is tough. I mean, I'm in the second round, and I'm like waffling back and forth. You know, I actually thought, like, if I wanted to do year one and year two players, like Jaylen Waddle, actually, it was someone that I'd think about here.
Yeah, yeah, I'll speak to that real quick while you're still mulling it over. I think Jaylen Waddle, with what he showed in year one, is obviously in that echelon. And if we didn't have a Ja'Marr Chase in that class, we'd be raving even more about him. I'm going to pause this just real quick so we don't go too long. And so if we see that he now has Tyreek Hill come to town, and that's going to suppress his value a little bit, where you're able to get him a little bit later. But I don't think that's – Tyreek Hill is going to be there for the long haul, right? We're talking about maybe it's a 2 or 3 year thing.
Yeah,
but Jaylen Waddle is talented enough to be that 1A to Tyreek Hill's 1B. Now, I think Tyreek Hill will be that 1A this first year. Maybe we'll see about year two, but Waddle has that talent to overtake Hill for sure.
All right, I want to do a little bit of math here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 5. So there's 10 picks. Chances are Waddle may or may not be there for me on the way back. That's the risk. So I either take him here or lose him forever, or I go with the best player available, which is Christian McCaffrey, which
okay.
This is really, really tough. You know what? I'm going to I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I am going to go with.
Oh, who's he going? Edge of our seat.
I'm going to go with Jalen Waddle and just see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that pick. I like that pick a lot.
All right. We got some quarterbacks gone.
Yeah, so each of those teams did do a quarterback. So you saw four more quarterbacks go off right after Waddle went. I think I want to talk about this one before we get to the rest of them. Deebo Samuel is a player that I think is really interesting at this spot. He's not the youngest. You know, you think about Deebo Samuel, like he's only been in the league for 2 or 3 years. He came in as an older prospect. I think he's 25, maybe going closer to 26. I'd have to check that.
I think that's right.
That, and then I'm just curious about what this offense looks like with Trey Lance, right? Deebo Samuel had a huge touchdown percentage, right? He had 8 rushing touchdowns. He scored early and often when he was receiving the ball as well. And I don't know if those touchdowns come as much with Trey Lance. And I don't know if those passing attempts come as much with Trey Lance. We saw that Deebo was saying he doesn't want to run the ball as much. That's kind of why he was requesting the trade. I think Deebo Samuel is going to be one of these guys we're going to fall back on and be like, man, we took him too early in 2022 drafts and here in the startup.
Yeah, I think having a really special season like he did, it's going to be really hard to replicate that. And especially, you know, Deebo does have an injury history. He stayed pretty clean last year. I love Deebo as a player. He's got that nasty streak. He plays tough. He's like, he doesn't take any shit. Like, he's an awesome football player. But I think that last year probably was his ceiling. I don't think he goes any higher than it's like Cooper Kupp. Like there's no way Cooper Kupp goes higher than he did last year. So you're taking Cooper Kupp, you know, that he went to team 11 in the second round right away. He's an older guy. He hit his ceiling. Like in a dynasty startup, I don't want Cooper Kupp in the second round.
Right.
Unless I'm going to build a win now team. And that's okay if you do that. I like to build a little bit of both. If I can go youth and win now and combine the two, I'm cool with that. Now I'm on the clock. I've got Ja'Marr Chase. I've got Jalen Waddle. So I could smash receiver here and just go 3 wideouts right out the gate. I could think quarterback here because I see Trevor Lawrence, who obviously disappointing rookie season, but people forget that Peyton Manning was not great in his rookie season either.
Correct.
He was bad. He was really bad. Peyton Manning was.
Yep.
And Trevor Lawrence is a prospect on the same plane as Peyton Manning. So I'm not panicking about Trevor Lawrence.
Same.
I really like T. Higgins, but do I want Higgins and Chase? I have them on a couple dynasty teams together.
Interesting.
You
try and avoid that generally, or you just say, hey, I'm going to take them and whatever happens, happens. If I need to trade them, I'll have a good player.
Yeah, I don't mind taking both of them because it showed last year that they can both eat and be successful. So right. I'm not too worried about that. You know what? I think I am going to tap my first quarter. I'm looking at the quarterbacks coming up, and I think by the time it gets to me, there's going to be some more gone, and it's starting to dry up a little bit. So I'm not panicking, but I am starting to get conscious of how far do I want to push it. Now, third round, you're like, well, that's still pretty early. But if I take one here, my future quarterback, maybe I can wait and not take one in 4 and then maybe take one in 5 or 6 if there's a dead zone for quarterbacks. And maybe I get a Kirk Cousins or something a little bit later, who's obviously still got some years left. So I'm going to take – let me just check the availability board again here before I go. So I like A.J. Brown too. But Philly, I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence, and I'm going to think that he's going to have positive regression in year 2.
Yeah, I think no we're going to find. Yeah, I think we're going to find a value with a lot of these 2021 rookie quarterbacks. I think a lot of them are talented. They were almost all of them were in horrendous situations. A lot of them have new coaches, right? Trevor Lawrence, new coach. Justin Fields, new coach.
Doug Peterson's a good coach for a young quarterback, I think.
Absolutely. And so I don't want to judge him off of 1 year. You already made the Peyton Manning reference. I've made that reference when talking about Trevor Lawrence a lot, not just because I saw them as similar talents,
right?
You know, coming in, but just Trevor Lawrence had that struggle where there's nothing around him. He's throwing a ton, getting sacked a lot, and it doesn't always it's not indicative of his future, right? So let's not worry about just year 1. So I think you have a really good pick there. Man, here's what's interesting. When you go tight end early, you have a lot of positions to fill. I could go my quarterback 2 here. I could go my first running back, which I definitely need. Yep. I could go wide receiver here. Man, there's a lot of options for me here. Man. And here's what's tough, because I started with Pitts, super young, Watson, who I would still consider young at that 25, 26.
Oh, he could play quarterback for another 10 plus years.
Easily. Now, do I want to go into, hey, let's try and win now, take a Tyreek, looking at running back, I could go Chubb, Kamara. We saw Henry already come off the board, Adams, Diggs. So some of these win now guys are coming off the board. You know, that's the guy. T. Higgins is my guy. So let me just wax poetic real quick. So coming out, he doesn't run at the combine, right? And everyone's like, no, T. Higgins, you know, we're moving him down. I got him in the second round of a lot of drafts. In our league, Bartab, I was auctioning back and forth with Gabe for him just for the entire time. And Gabe ended up winning him. I still haven't forgiven him. But I've been a T. Higgins guy kind of from the onset.
I have a lot of T shares, lots. Because even in that middle of the second round, I was like T. Higgins, like all day.
I think I'm going to employ the Doug Eddie wait on your second quarterback here. And I'm going to snap up here. Saquon is going to be the running back for me, and I'll tell you why. Nick Chubb, I think there's a ceiling there. He can be a fantastic lower-end running back one, but he always is capping, especially if Deshaun Watson's coming to town. What's that touchdown upside? Alvin Kamara, he's the guy I don't want to take here. I feel like he's kind of on that cusp of dropping off. Antonio Gibson, the Commanders have shown us that they don't want him to be the workhorse running back, right?
Gibson's stock is way down right now.
They re-sign McKissick. They draft Robinson. I'm not sure what his future holds. And I think Saquon Barkley, we're getting the injury discount on him in a big way. So I'm going to take him here as a prospect that I still really like. That offense is going to be much, much improved. They address the offensive line. They address
Dable's some weapons a good coach. For him.
Dable is going to be much, much better than Joe Judge and Jason Garrett. So yeah. I think that's going to be my option. And then, you know, we've been waxing poetic on T. Higgins. I'm just going to roll there as my wide receiver one and running back one.
Love it.
So let me set the table here as you ponder your fourth pick here. In the third round, we saw four quarterbacks go off. Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford, Jalen Hurts goes in the third, and Trevor Lawrence. Running backs was Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley to me at the 312, and then A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, and D.K. Metcalf. And then in the fourth round, I went Higgins. Then it was Kittle, Gibson, Tyreek, Drake London. So is that the first rookie wide receiver? I think it is.
Yep.
And then Kamara, you're back up here with a lot of different options.
Yeah, you know, I see like Travis Kelce staring me at the face. My team's not built to have Travis Kelce on it. And I have the same concerns with Chubb that you do. Now, I look at some of these. I could go running back here. I love Cam Akers. I'm a Florida State guy, but I have concerns. Dobbins, I have concerns. To me, this may sound crazy, but I think where I'm going to go here is running back. And it's going to be a guy we didn't see play at all in his rookie season. It's going to be Travis Etienne. And the reason it's going to be Travis Etienne is because there's like five prospects that with their college production, age, athletic testing, it's like Saquon Barkley, Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, and two other running backs are on this chart. People forget that Travis Etienne was an elite running back at Clemson. Absolutely. He can do it all. He can be on the field for three downs. They didn't address anything in the draft except for drafting Snoop Connor in like the fifth. James Robinson ruptured his Achilles. Who knows if he'll be back? I don't know if he's got the same like superhuman strength that Cam Akers does. But they spent a first-round pick on Travis Etienne. Now, I know it was under Urban Meyer. But to see Trevor Lawrence and Etienne, the running back that he played with his whole college career, and Etienne, they did some stuff on the offensive line for the Jaguars. I think with Doug Peterson there, I know he can always be a wild card when it comes to running back usage. But when I look at the upside, I mean, Akers, as much as I loved him pre-Achilles when he came back, maybe he came back a little too early. Dobbins is tough because they still have Gus Edwards. Lamar runs so much. Ken Walker, like, there's a lot of muddle there. Like, I think I'm just going to go for – I'm going to go second-year player again, and I'm just going to take Travis Etienne, and let's go.
Yeah, I love that because, again, we're talking injury discounts, and I think that's the number one discount you're going to get with a lot of these players. And again, there's a reason that they get discounted, but a lot of these times I'm not going to predict injury in the second year, right? If they get hurt in the first year, or in Saquon's case, he got hurt back-to-back years, I'm not going to be the one that's going to suggest, oh, he's going to get hurt again. I don't have that knowledge to understand it. Now, if it's a chronic injury, like a Todd Gurley with his knees, that's a different conversation, but two unrelated issues. You know, the one I think back to was Keenan Allen, right? Everybody was hammering Keenan Allen because he lacerates a kidney and then he tears his ACL in the first quarter of the first game after getting like, I don't know, his 7 or 8 receptions in the first quarter is insane. And they're like, oh no, we got to drop Keenan Allen down. We got to drop him down. So he went to like the 5th round. And what did he do the next year? I think he was like the wide receiver 3. So I'm with you there. I'm not going to hammer people too much on injury, especially when they had the pedigree coming in. So I kind of love what's been happening here as a guy who skipped on my quarterback 2. After you took Etienne, we saw Chubb, Ken Walker, the rookie running back. He's the second running back, rookie running back off the board. Kelsey goes, Dobbins, Akers, Burks, Hockenson, Deontay Johnson, McLaurin, Aaron Rodgers going here. And now you're back up here in the 5th round. Really only one quarterback in the past almost 24 picks, right? It was Trevor Lawrence, the last one to go. So we have a huge lull here at quarterback. And that's probably good for you if you're maybe looking to take that second one. You have all your options still available except for 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little salty here because I really was interested in either Burks, Deontay Johnson, or McLaurin. But, you know, when I look at the board of everyone is available, could take Justin Fields here, year 2. I don't like what Chicago's doing. So it would be like you start Justin Fields because he's your QB2, but you're not going to feel great about it some weeks.
Nope.
Tua, obviously, you're going into year 3. He has a lot of weapons around him. It's a make or break year for him. But DJ Moore, to me, you know, the only receiver to have 1,000 yards in the last like 3 years in a row. And I know he only scores 4 or 5 touchdowns a year, but DJ Moore is a great player. You know, do I go a little older and go with DJ Moore, or do I go with Justin Fields and then just call it a day at quarterback for a bit? This is a tough spot because there's a lot of players that I like. You know, I'm really looking at Michael Pittman here.
Yeah.
I like Pittman a lot. I think Pittman's going to be an absolute stud. I think he already is a stud, but I think with the upgrade from Matt Ryan, like Matt Ryan, you know, and not to say that Matt Ryan made Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, but Matt Ryan's a damn good quarterback. And I still think he's got some juice left. This is a tough one. You know what? I think, and there's nothing, running back is just starts to get really ugly.
Oh, absolutely. I think sometimes people forget, and Kevin and I just talked about this on our show, talking about some rankings. You know, I think people forget about Michael Pittman and how good of a year he had last year. It was just kind of underrated a little bit. He had 129 targets, 88 receptions, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. And that's with Carson Wentz, who I think is kind of just that right average to below average quarterback. Matt Ryan's older, but he's definitely a more talented version at quarterback. And he knows how to get an alpha wide receiver the football. We saw it with Roddy Wyatt. We saw it with Julio Jones. If you're not taking him, I'm definitely looking at him when it gets to my pick.
Well, you know what? I'm going to receivers deep. I'm scrolling through here and there's a lot of players I like, but again, maybe I build a really deep roster and don't worry so much about the QB2. So let's roll with Michael Pitbull Pittman Jr.
Love Bing. It. Love it.
Done.
So while Lito asked in the chat about David Montgomery, we're sitting there in the 5th and he's only 24 years old. You know, Chicago didn't do a ton to upgrade the offensive line or any other weapons around him. What are your feelings on Montgomery? I've always been a Montgomery guy. I was big on him when he came out. He's not your most explosive player, but man, he is shifty, breaks a lot of tackles. And if they could just get a line in front of him, like his yards after contact are fantastic. If they can just help him out with the yards before contact, I think he would jump up these rankings a lot for me, but that's kind of what's holding them back for me.
You know, it's interesting. Montgomery's going into his free agent year. I think he's going to be a free agent after this year, because he wasn't a first-round pick, so this is his year 4. I like Montgomery a lot as a player. You know, it was Josh Jacobs and Montgomery in that draft at the top of the draft for running backs. I think Montgomery's been a great player when he's on the field. I just don't – it's interesting because the running back landscape, free agent running backs, there's so much talent in the NFL at the running back position that if he doesn't re-sign with Chicago, like, who knows where he's going to go, right? Right. I'm a big Khalil Herbert guy, and I think the Bears like him a lot too, so they might be like, Khalil Herbert flash, we don't need to pay David Montgomery what he might want as a free agent. But bet on the player. So I thought about Montgomery there, but it doesn't fit my build as much.
Yeah, he's kind of him and Josh Jacobs being in that same draft class was kind of a teardrop for me. If one of them was available, I was really looking at taking one of those guys here with my fifth pick here at the 5-12. Without them, we're looking at Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, Zeke Elliott, Elijah Mitchell, James Conner, AJ Dillon. Those guys are all kind of in the same tier for me. And again, I have the trouble where I don't get to pick for a long time. So if I don't take them, I could miss out on that entire tier, but I'm going to take that risk and not go running back just because I'll take whatever one's left out of that area. They're all kind of similar for me. I'm really going to look here at wide receiver and quarterback. I've got Higgins at wide receiver and I've got Deshaun Watson at quarterback. The two quarterbacks that jump out to me are Tua Tagovailoa, a guy that I really liked as a lefty quarterback, the only lefty in the league. He's now got Tyreek Hill, Waddle. He's got Gesicki. They added a bunch of other pieces.
Cedric Wilson,
right? So I think he is really set up well with his coaching staff to just kind of ball out. It's the make or break year is what they say, but I think Tua is going to rise to the occasion, and he's going to be a fantasy superstar this year. So I'm excited about him. And then Zach Wilson's my other guy kind of in this 2021 class. He's kind of the same feel where people were kind of a little bit lower on him. You know, is he going to be as good as some of these other guys? Zach Wilson can run the football. He has a cannon of an arm, and now they've surrounded him with a ton of talent. Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. That offensive line is going to be super good, one of the best in the league, I think. So I'm excited about his future. I could go either way there. I'm going to take Tua just because I like him just a tad more with his weapons. I think he's a little bit more developed than Zach Wilson is at this moment in time. So I'm going to go Tua there, then I'm going to go over here to the wide receivers. And real quick, I don't think it's terrible to take a third quarterback either, because in your startups, it's the hardest to get, I think, are star running backs and just any solid young quarterback. So if I went Zach Wilson here, I wouldn't be starting one of them each week, but that's a really big trade asset to get a big haul. If one of those two, Tua or Zach Wilson, takes a major leap, you can definitely pivot and then have the other one as your quarterback too. What do you think about that strategy?
Yeah, I don't mind that. We just did a review for a Dynasty League over on Dynasty Happy Hour, and one of the teams started with five quarterbacks out of the gate. Wow. Yeah, I call that the John Bosch strategy.
That is
all the quarterbacks, because I mean, honestly, they're the most valuable chip, right? So there's going to be teams that their quarterback two is something that you're like, oh, I don't really like that at all. So if they go to this team and say, I want this quarterback, they're going to be like, all right, give me a bunch of firsts and a player. Like, they can literally rake people over the coals for quarterbacks. And I think that's part of the strategy in startups too. I'm not a fan of that. I think it's you're kind of holding the quarterbacks, and then you're trying to get someone to overpay. To me, it's just a lot of work, and I don't want to put that much work into it to think about it that much, but people do it. So a third quarterback here, I wouldn't mind it because it is super valuable, unless you have a player at another position that you really covet.
Yeah, I think here is where I'm going to go a little bit older. When we look at these wide receivers here, I'm probably going to have to go older. If you're looking at Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, who's not old. I think he's 25, 26.
Yeah, Godwin's not that old.
26 probably. And then we have the rookies, right? Chris Olave, Jameson Williams. You have Keenan Allen mixed in there. And then Jerry Jeudy's the other name. Jerry Jeudy, I think, is really interesting because you can see this going either way, right? Mm-hmm. Does he really click with Russell Wilson, and we've all just been super underrating him with his quarterback situation? Or is he that guy that's just maybe not going to get it after struggling year one, year two? He's always nicked up, missing games left and right. I think I'm going to go with Chris Godwin, and I'm going to tell you why. If he's healthy, I don't think he's here. And people are worried that
he's a wide receiver one when he's healthy.
He's injured. He got injured with the ACL in week 15. So he's probably not going to be ready week one. But I don't think my team's going to be ready for week one because I took Watson as well. So if I'm looking from the dynasty perspective, what can I do to maybe weather the storm, see what I can do in 2022, but really look at 2023 as that year since I already started out with Watson? I think I'm going to take Chris Godwin here and see what happens in 2022. Maybe I can build some good depth. But then going forward, I really love Chris Godwin and Watson and the rest of the squad. So I'm going to go Godwin here.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And that's why I wanted to take a quarterback. We see a couple more quarterbacks start to trickle off the board. I think we're getting kind of towards that questionable area, right? Where Derek Carr never really had that QB1 ceiling. Now he gets Davante Adams, at least for a couple years, right? Adams being 28, that's probably a 2-3 year situation. Mac Jones, again, I don't see quarterback one ceiling from him right now. And then we have Aaron Jones go, Darren Waller, Jerry Jeudy, and now you're back up here at the 607.
That I am. I'm just kind of scrolling through here, looking down the road. I think I have a great QB2, which I can wait on for a bit. So we'll see how sneaky I can get here.
Let me recap your team for those listening pod version here. You went Jamar Chase first pick. Then you went back-to-back wide receivers. So Jamar Chase and then Waddle. Third round, you went Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne in the fourth, Michael Pittman here in the fifth. So you have three wide receivers to fill out your starting three quota. And then you have one quarterback, one running back, still looking maybe for a tight end, a second quarterback, more running back depth. What are you thinking here?
You know, out of all the positions I see that fit my what I'm doing, it's really wide receiver.
You just can't get away from them.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to like, all right, I could take Zach Wilson here. I could. But you look at all the receivers. I mean, I'm not taking Leonard Fournette. I'm not taking Zeke. Elijah Mitchell, I don't know. Like, he could just be a flash. I'm not sure. James Conner, I have no interest in. A.J. Dillon, okay, maybe. I feel like I can wait on a lot of these guys. I might just, like, punt the running back position until later. You know, when I look at wide receiver here, you know, Evans is more of a win now piece. Devonta Smith, they get A.J. Brown there. I think that makes Devonta's life a little bit easier, but it's not a heavy passing offense. You know, Olave, I like as a prospect, but for me, the name that stands out here that fits what I'm doing is Jameson Williams. You know, he would have been the number one receiver if he didn't tear his ACL, I think. He was still drafted as a top 15 pick. Detroit moved up to get him.
Moved up a lot.
Because Minnesota was like, yeah, we'll give you a discount to move up in the division.
Division rival. That's
what are you doing? I was at the draft and my Vikings buddy was like, what just happened? And I go,
not great.
So, you know, I do like Elijah Moore here as well. You know, when we saw Elijah Moore on the field, he was a top 10 fantasy receiver for that 4-week stretch it was, and he was awesome. Right. You know, they obviously draft Garrett Wilson. They still have Corey Davis there. You know, Detroit used to have Amon-Ra, DJ Chark. I don't know. This is a tough one. It's being put in this position sometimes where you're like, I could do this or I could do that. I think I have a good second quarterback that I can take later. So I'm going to risk it. And you know what?
I was going to say, real quick, Doug, do you think some of your strategy, especially being right there in the middle, is who can maybe fall back to me if I'm deciding between two players?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're kind of rolling the dice a little bit. You know, my head tells me to take Jameson Williams. I didn't have him as my wide receiver one in this class, but my heart tells me to take Elijah Moore because I've already seen it with a subpar quarterback play.
Okay.
You know, he flashed with Flacco and Mike White. And everybody but Zach Wilson. And I'm not too concerned. I think Elijah Moore is an awesome player. So you know what? Let's go. I'm going to take Elijah Moore and see what happens.
Okay. And then his quarterback that's throwing him the football goes right after him. And then we have Chris Olave, Mike Evans, Devonta Smith, Keenan Allen. So a little bit of a wide receiver run there. And then four straight running backs to start the seventh. Fournette, Zeke, Elijah Mitchell, A.J. Dillon. There goes the whole tier I just talked about, hopefully trying to make it back to me. Amari Cooper goes here, which I think is kind of interesting in the seventh round. It's kind of that top option for Deshaun Watson when he's playing. And now you're back up here at the 706.
Oh, I am really pushing my luck. I'm looking at the running back position coming up here, and it's
– You've got
– It starts ETN to get squirrely.
And it gets a little squirrely. But I think here's something we can mention. We have to remember that the 2023 class has a lot of good talent at the quarterback and running back position, and that's why people are pumping up that draft, right? We just came out of one that was really wide receiver heavy, didn't have a lot of high-end quarterback talent, had Breece Hall, a little bit of Kenneth Walker, a little bit of Isaiah Spiller if you liked him, but other than that, really barren at running back. So if that is a position that you punt, you can definitely retool and reload in the 2023, but you're also maybe understanding that, hey, I'm going to struggle at that position for 2022.
I still think my QB2 is going to make it back to me. He's buried down here. So I'm not reaching on a QB here. You know, Kenny Pickett, not a huge fan. Sorry. Jamison Williams is still there. How many receivers can I start for?
Yeah, so I do want to mention that because I only made it for 10 rounds because I knew I wanted to keep this around an hour for the show. But if we had more picks, we might hammer quarterback. We might hammer wide receiver.
True.
But because he has to fill out his roster, maybe Doug is going to be pigeonholed once he fills out the other two flex spots where he can't, you know, go that sixth wide receiver or something like that. I don't think we're going to be allowed to take a third quarterback because our super flex and quarterback spot is filled up and we have to fill out the rest of this roster with 10 picks. So just so you guys know, there's a reason we're going to say, hey, I'd take the quarterback here. Just in this mock exercise, I just wanted to have the 10 rounds.
All right. I think I am going to take a running back here. And this might be some people might look at this and be like, wow, what an absolute reach that is. But with, you know, the future of Devin Singletary being in question, James Cook is one of my favorite running back prospects in this class. I think not just as a pass catcher, I think as a running back. You know, this might be a little reachy, but you look at the other running backs that are available, right? James Conner doesn't fit what I'm doing. Hilaire, nope. Damian Harris, nope. Miles Sanders, nope. Tony Pollard, nope. Damian Pierce, Michael Carter, Kareem Hunt, nope, 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 nope. You know, when I'm looking at like, yeah, I need a second running back here, it's either going to be James Cook or I'm starting to think maybe a tight end. I think I can probably wait and get my guy on the way around, I'm hoping. So let's go, you know what? Let's go with James Cook. He fits my young build. And I think, you know, being there with Josh Allen and a successful Bills team, I like the explosiveness. I've always liked James Cook. I was mad when he decommitted from Florida State and went to Georgia. But I'm not going to hold it against him. And he plays for my rivals, the Buffalo Bills, but I'll still root for him. So I'm going to take James Cook here. Bit of a reach. Don't care. Let's go.
Yeah. I think it really just depends on how you see that running back room, right? If you're someone that thinks Devin Singletary is out the door next year, right? He is, what was he, a 2019? He was a part of that DK Metcalf draft, if I remember correctly. So he's 2019. He's going to be either re-signed or moved on from after this year. And then who's left in that running back room? James Cook could be really enticing when we're talking about a dynasty perspective, if he's the guy there with Josh Allen. So I think I don't mind that pick. It's probably not for me because I'm not a big James Cook guy, but I understand. Yeah. I understand why. I'm really sad because James Conner goes right after him. That's the guy kind of pegged. Again, we're talking about these tiers and how tough it is to draft at the end. You're going to see these runs happen. And boy, did they. We saw Fournette, Zeke, Mitchell, Dillon, Cook, and then Connor all go off the board. So now I got knocked down another tier, which is definitely not ideal for me.
Yeah, running back starts to thin out. Yeah.
James Connor is one I probably would have taken over Cook just because he got that three-year deal. And when we look at that deal, he's going to be with the Cardinals for 2 years. And if you're telling me it's Kyler Murray, they're a pretty solid offense in that touchdown upside that James Connor has. I know he can get injured. That's every running back for me.
Sure.
And so you're telling me two pretty good years with what I consider a running back one. That at this point in the seventh round, that's a guy that entices me, but he's gone, not an option for me. A couple of rookie wide receivers go off with Jamison Williams, Christian Watson, and then the sophomore wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown also gone. We see Kenny Pickett go as well. So I really need to reshift my focus, but there's a pick here for me that I really, really like. Rashad Bateman was a guy I was really high on last year. Marquise Brown, who's also available, he leaves town. He goes to Arizona. So now I think it's Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman, time to eat. I understand that the Ravens won't probably throw as much as they did last year after they lost every single running back known to man on their roster. But I do think they're going to be a lot more efficient. We saw Lamar Jackson had 36 touchdowns his MVP season 2 years ago, right? And so I think he can return, maybe not back to that 7.6, 7.7 touchdown rate, but if he got a 6% touchdown rate, that's going to be much better than what he had last year. I think he only threw like 16 touchdowns or something like that last year. It was not a great offense because of all the injuries. If they're clicking again, I think a lot of that's going to go to Rashad Bateman. He's going to be that maybe 1B target to Mark Andrews 1A. And I love him as a prospect. He can run any route in the book. Really, really slippery. So
totally agree.
I'm going to go Bateman there. And now I have my three wide receivers with Higgins, Godwin, Bateman. I still need two flex as well, so it doesn't eliminate me from going back to wide receiver. But let's take a look at these running backs. I keep on punting this down the road. And honestly, I know that, you know, we've swung so far on CEH.
We've swung
so far on him, right? He was the chosen one. He was meant to be Everything was going to be sunshine and daisies. And now we fall into to where he's available here in the eighth round of a startup. I mean, this guy was a first round startup pick. Remember, because it was Patrick Mahomes wanted him.
He was the one who wanted a lot of rookie drafts.
Rookie drafts, but just in a regular startup, man. Oh, like startup, people were all about him because they said this is a perfect marriage. He's a young running back. Why would you not like him and Jonathan Taylor? People were kind of
decided
going
not
forth.
To throw to him in the offense. Cool.
And they decided not to throw to him, but now we have Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce is at age 33, MBS, you know, Hardman. Like some of these options aren't enticing. We know Ronald Jones, as much as I love Ronald Jones as a Ronald Jones guy, he's not going to be the pass catcher in that backfield. So can Clyde Edwards-Helaire start to step up and take some of those Tyreek Hill targets, not specifically the down the field ones, but that target share? Can that maybe shift a little bit more to the running back? I think it can. Maybe I'm just talking myself into this pick, but he's young, so I don't know if he's going to tank in his stock if he has a solid season. And I definitely think a running back here for me is what I'd want to do. If we were just going at other quarterbacks, just to talk on them a little bit, I think Jameis Winston is enticing. I think he's a lot better after he's gotten time to not be the starter, watch behind Drew Brees, learn. He got that LASIK surgery, right? Like, just I like Jameis Winston a lot better than I used to. So he's an option there for me.
Cousins.
Cousins, I like Cousins, right? He's never your flashy guy, but if he's your quarterback three, that's fantastic. So if we were going other quarterbacks in Superflex, I think these guys would continue to come off the board here. I'd probably go him over a CEH. But because we're only going to take two in this, I'm going to go CEH and see what happens here. Here's where we see some tight ends start to come off the board.
My guy's available. Let's go.
Man, Mooney. Let's talk about Mooney really quickly. I know we talked about not loving that Bears offense. They're not really doing what they can to help Fields. It's kind of just Mooney. I got some Cole Kmet love, and maybe that's the tight end you were talking about. I don't know. We'll find out. Freiermuth there as well. But Mooney's kind of the only show in town there for wide receiver, and he's not old, right? This is going into his third year, I think. What are your thoughts there?
You know, it's going to be interesting because is Mooney good enough to face off against the team's number one corner?
Yeah, that's a big point.
I mean, Allen Robinson was clogging that last year. We all know that Allen Robinson didn't have a great year. I don't think Allen Robinson's lost a step or anything like that, but I think Mooney's, if you're looking for volume and targets, that'll be there. But I just don't know if I think Mooney's talented, but when he's running against the team's second best corner, I feel much better about it than when he's facing the number one corner on a defense. So Mooney to me, I think is a fine, if you get him as your wide receiver three or four, like this team did, I don't mind that there. He is going to have some wide, you know, some fringe wide receiver 1 weeks, probably from time to time. So this late, I don't mind it at all, but I think it's going to be interesting. I think he's really going to have to show us what he's made of in order to be a solid wide receiver three this year. So with my pick, my guy here, because we're tight end premium, I had him in the same tier as Goddard and Schultz, and it's Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah.
My success story last year, when everyone in these auctions was dropping $600 on Kyle Pitts, I dropped $60 on Pat Freiermuth. So I paid 10% of the cost, and I got way more touchdowns and not as many receptions or yards. But I think Freiermuth is, and I made a bet with someone that Freiermuth will play longer in the NFL and have a better career when it's all said and done than Kyle Pitts. And it's not like Pitts.
Wow.
I think Freiermuth is, it's like the tortoise and the hare, right? Pitts is the hare and he'll have big years, but Freiermuth is just going to put it all together and be consistent every single year, every single week. Now I know he's got no Roethlisberger and they have Kenny Pickett. I think Pat Freiermuth would be Kenny Pickett's best friend.
For sure. Yeah.
So and he's such a huge red zone presence. The dude makes like the most ridiculous catches. He can do everything. He doesn't need to come off the field. I don't even know why Eric Ebron's still on the Steelers, to be honest.
He is news to me.
yeah, I think he is. They're probably paying him some ungodly amount for him to clog up Pat Freiermuth's snaps. But I really love Pat. And so I am going to go with Pat Freiermuth here. As much as Kirk Cousins is staring me in the face, my QB2 is still on the board and will be. So I'm going to take Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, I think in most Superflex drafts, we're going to see some of these quarterbacks maybe not make it here to the eighth and ninth round. We're obviously just dealing with
this wide receiver run smokes.
Yeah, so a lot of these guys took their two quarterbacks early. So we're going to see a lot of these positional players continue to go. And so if you're looking in, and that's probably something I can do at the next draft, I can make it so you can draft multiple quarterbacks because they definitely would continue to go here. But a pick that I like here at the turn is Courtland Sutton. I think that's a guy that should go higher. I know he's kind of getting to that age. He just got a new contract. He's at probably age 26. But, man, he just got the massive upgrade with Russell Wilson. And if we talk about what DK Metcalf could do for Russell Wilson, I think Courtland Sutton is a similar mold. That deep ball has speed, has size. And I think he can be really, really successful with Russell Wilson, especially if they let him finally cook, right? So I like Sutton there. They turn around and get George Pickens, another alpha wide receiver. We'll see what happens with the rest of that wide receiver room in Pittsburgh. Allen Robinson goes. Tony Pollard goes. Dawson Knox, Gabe Davis, who had a fantastic playoff game. I'm surprised he didn't go earlier.
Right.
And now you're back up here. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, it's round 9. I could probably wait till round 10 to get the guy that I want, but I'm just going to take him now because that'll be fun, and I want to see what's left over for me in the last round. My QB2 here, you know, I could take Kirk Cousins. He's solid. There's nothing wrong with Kirk Cousins. He's a fringe QB1. He's going to win you games. He's not going to lose you many. He doesn't throw a ton of interceptions. He's got weapons around him. So I like Kirk Cousins.
Who are you going to say? I'm on the edge of my seat here.
I am a believer in Davis Mills. So.
Oh, okay. I was not ready for that name.
All right. So okay. Davis Mills, he escaped the draft. Everyone was worried is like Davis Mills. You know, Lovie Smith is the coach now. He was the coordinator last year. He saw Davis Mills. They didn't address the quarterback position at all in the draft.
Correct.
I think they really like Davis Mills. You know what? I really like Davis Mills. He played way better than anyone thought he would.
For sure. For sure.
You know, they bring in Mechie. They've got Brandon Cooks there still, so he'll get his 1,000 yards. I really like Nico Collins. I love me some Brevin Jordan. They get Damian Pierce. I don't know what to expect from him yet. You know, they got some veteran running backs. They can kind of piecemeal it. I think Davis Mills might be the long-term guy in Houston.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a big year for him because their roster, you could argue, is not great. They're on the complete rebuilding aspect. So does he have the success where he can be in games, be competent, you know, look like a
Houston was
solid
in more games than we think they were. They were in a lot of games.
Yeah, because of him not turning the football over and just being able to be, quote unquote, a game manager. And that's in his first year. Can he take a step forward? Now, I think there's still an opportunity if they're in a top 10 pick. They can look hard at a quarterback. So that's why I'm a little nervous. But if you're getting him here at this spot, right, you're not worried about that. You're just taking a QB3 that, hey, if he's great for this year and then I need to pivot to a new QB3 next year, that's fine. Or QB2, I guess,
first round or,
technically for you. But yeah, I think you're okay at this point in the draft because you don't need him to be the, locked in for sure starter. You could take that, you know, the next time around, you can have that, you know, the Cousins or some of these other guys that, hey, they're going to be okay. Who's another name? Tannehill. I think that's a perfect name. Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, right? They're just going to be the guy there. But then you have the younger asset in Davis Mills. So I think it's an interesting strategy. I know Kevin Steele has been talking about Davis Mills and saying, hey, we need to pay attention to him. He's better than we thought he was. Yep. And they didn't address the quarterback position. They tried to build around him. And so let's see what he does here in 2022. Mm-hmm. Okay, to round this out, I think there's a couple options here. As I scroll through running back, it's obviously going to be ugly. It's not going to be as deep as wide receiver. We know that. There's a couple of guys where I could go. But I think, again, if we're talking about dynasty and how quickly running backs are replaced, I'm going to look at wide receiver here to continue to build out. We talked about Chris Godwin earlier and how I might not have him for the beginning of the season. I saw Walido in the chat asking, why is Brandon Cooks still there? And I completely agree. I think Brandon Cooks, year in, year out, going to get you 1,000 yards. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Doesn't matter what team he's on. So if I need somebody, if I need somebody to kind of weather the storm while I'm waiting on Chris Godwin to come back, this is the perfect guy to do that. Didn't mean to click that there. He's going to be the perfect guy to do that. So I'm going to take him here. And then a lot of options still here. Man, David Bell. I'm a David Bell guy. Maybe a bit early.
I like David Bell a lot too.
I love David Bell. I'm still a believer in Chase Claypool, and I know that they just brought in George Pickens. We'll see what happens with Deontay Johnson. There's a ton of mouths to feed in this room, but when you have that size-speed combo His touchdowns were fantastic year one. They definitely regressed in year two. If he can just get to this middle ground, he's going to be a solid wide receiver three, and he's young. So I think that's a great option for him where he's not going to lose value. And then what happens with Deontay Johnson? Is there an injury where he can take on a larger role? Does Kenny Pickett end up being fantastic? That's where I'm going to take a shot with a younger guy. It was between him and Jahan Dotson. I'm a little bit down on Jahan Dotson. I know Cody, who just jumped in the chat, won't love to hear that. But Claypool here for me is going to be a guy where I think he's going to retain his value for a couple years and have the opportunity to increase it. So that's how I'm going to round out my draft with a couple of wide receivers. So my draft, we had 10 rounds. Watson for me, Tua as my quarterback two. Pitts I took in the second round as my tight end. Barkley and CEH. So I'm pretty light at a running back, honestly, and that's something that I'll need to address here in 2023 or make some trades. But then wide receiver, Higgins, Godwin, Bateman, Cooks, and Claypool. So definitely some trade options there. You just had a groan there. What was that? What was that groan?
That was Rashad White getting picked two picks in front of me. I didn't think he would go. He would have fit this team perfectly. You know, I saw a tweet, I browse through Twitter here and there. I'm not on it as much as I used to be. I'm trying to, like, you know, separate myself from being on there all the time.
Yeah.
But I did catch a tweet today that said that when the Saints drafted Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram was coming off a really good year and he was 27 years old. And Rashad White, Tampa Bay drafted him, and Leonard Fournette's 27 years old, coming off a great season. So they might use Rashad White a lot, and I like his draft profile. I like the draft capital that Tampa Bay used on him. Unfortunately, Robbie, Keyshawn Vaughn.
Oh man, yeah, that's one that still stings. Yeah. I think that running back room is interesting for this year because there's a lot of different ways they can go. Right, Geo is still there, so where does the pass catching work go? Is it Leonard Fournette that we saw last year? Is it Geo mixing in, or is it, that's a big part of White's game, is how good he is at pass catching. Then you have Keyshawn Vaughn. Is he mixing in? Is he that Rojo where he's the second main guy in between the tackles? Cause we know he's not being the pass catcher. I'm about to dive into my projections for 2022. And that's a running back room that I'm going to have a lot of questions on. I'm going to have to reach out to fans to see how they're seeing and what the beat reporters are saying about that running back room. But again, we're talking about this stage of the draft. You want to take these younger shots. I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I could take another quarterback here. I mean, you got Jameis Winston. I could take a shot on Malik Willis. You know, I think Willis has an incredible amount of ceiling. I know he was only taken in the third round. Everyone knows that by now. But I think he might be the guy in 2023. And the Titans, you know, they drafted Treylon Burks. They drafted Hassan Haskins. They drafted the athletic Delanie Walker clone at tight end, whose name I can never pronounce. So they drafted a lot of young offensive pieces, and it could be a signal that, like, we have what we have now, but this is the future. Because they didn't really address defense. They went with a lot of offensive pieces. So Malik Willis is intriguing. I've been getting him in rookie super flex drafts, you know, early second round, and I'm okay with that. You know, I know I'm going to have to sit on him for a year probably, unless he comes out and just blows everyone away. So that's an interesting one. Jahan Dotson, like you said, the first round capital fits what I'm doing. There's a part of me that really wants to take Cole Kmet here, and I just did by accident, but that's fine. So Cole Kmet, I took him, and the reason I took Cole Kmet is because you look at the targets. Darnell Mooney should get a lot. They drafted Velus Jones in the third round. They have Byron Pringle. Jimmy Graham, I don't believe, is on the team anymore, finally. And they don't have eight tight ends on the roster. Cole Kmet had 60 catches last year.
They don't have eight tight ends on the roster yet.
Yeah, give it time. But I think Cole Kmet had 600 and something yards and 60 receptions. Cole Kmet could have a tight end one season this year and really break out. So pairing him in his year three season with a year two Pat Freiermuth, I'm going to be all set at the tight end position for quite a while. And I've loved Cole Kmet. I got him late in a couple of rookie drafts, a few years ago. And I've just been waiting. And we started to see it last year. And I think that he takes the leap where he could go 85 receptions, 900 yards, and 6 to 8 touchdowns and be a tight end one. Because we all know all you need is 30 yards and a touchdown to be a freaking tight end one nowadays. But with that PPR upside of tight end premium, Cole Kmet, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think what was interesting for me here is, did I miss or did Sky Moore not in this draft.
Sky Moore went a couple of rounds ago.
Okay, I did miss him.
Yeah, he went.
Yep, Sky Moore. Okay. Yep. I was just looking at some of these rookie wide receivers because, again, everyone was super down on this 2022 class, but I thought it was fantastic. I honestly think this wide receiver room stacks up really well with the last two. Maybe it doesn't have the Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle top pick, but I think their depth is so much better than the last couple years and definitely 2019 and some of these other years. So I'm really big on a lot of these rookie wide receivers. I didn't get any in this draft just because, again, drafting at the turn, you kind of have to be really selective with who you choose. But I think that those guys going in this, 8, 9, 10 range are going to be fantastic selections. And I like what you did here. So let's read off your team real quick. Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Michael Pittman, Elijah Moore, James Cook, Pat Freiermuth, Davis Mills, and Cole Kmet. So you doubled up at tight end, which I don't think is bad in a tight end premium because if Cole Kmet is going to be this, hey, positive touchdown regression, I know we don't have to say positive, but he's going to increase his touchdowns for how many targets he's going to get, then he's going to be the same as some of these middling wide receiver threes in a tight end premium. Absolutely. So I love that pick. And then for me, I had Watson, Kyle Pitts, Saquon Barkley, T. Higgins, Tua, Godwin, Bateman, CH, Cooks, and Claypool. Looking at some of these teams, who did you like? Anything that stands out? Any steals? Any values?
Yeah, let me take a look. So just to go over my team, the only pick that I might not make again was Cook, but I felt that running back, because there was that stretch right in front of me and I didn't really want James Conner, that was the only time where I felt a little uneasy making a pick. But with this team also, I stuck with the year 1, 2 and a couple year 3 players. So while this team might not be great this year, I might get a really high 2023 pick and be able to get a piece to build around in that. So looking at some of these teams,
you definitely went young, right? And said you're going to do that going into it. You definitely wanted to stick with your year 1, year 2. You got year 3 with Pittman there, but I think that's absolutely fine. Year 3 with Kmet, the tight ends play forever. So you definitely followed your strategy of you're not taking anybody really over that year 3 mark. And I think that's good in a startup because they're going to retain that value. Even if Elijah Moore has a middling season, he's still going to be valued next year. Even if ETN has a middling year, he's still going to have value. It's not like these guys drop off. Whereas if you have, Godwin, I went Cooks, CEH, if some of these guys maybe don't have a fantastic year, you could see them drop a little bit more. Then on the flip side, maybe my guys produce a little bit earlier. So it's just a kind of a little bit of back and forth strategy between the younger guys that we might have to wait on a year versus some of these established guys.
I really like team 2. They went Herbert and Lance back to back. And then they added Dalvin Cook and J.K. Dobbins, Hawkinson, Devonta Smith in the 6th, Zeke Elliott. I mean, this is more of a win now model to me on this team. So Zeke in the 7th, followed by Juju, Allen Robinson, and Gallup. I think that team's really solid. And especially if Lance gets even close to the ceiling that we think he has. They didn't take a third quarterback, but that's fine. There's still plenty of good ones available. So I like team 2 quite a bit. And the way that they built their team, interesting. We saw team 7 go their first quarterback in the 9th round. They double tapped Cousins and Tannehill. So they pushed QB to the limit and they went with Jefferson, Andrews, AJ Brown, Kamara, Montgomery, Judy, Connor, Mooney, 2 quarterbacks. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a terrible model. The only problem is when these quarterbacks, when they match up against some of these quarterbacks that put up 30-point weeks, 32-point weeks, they're going to struggle to win those games because you're not going to get those from Cousins and Tannehill all too often, right? So if they have weeks when they match up and their quarterbacks are staying in the 25-point range, they're going to outscore them on the wide receiver side. They're going to outscore them probably on the running back side. Mark Andrews is going to outscore them on the tight end side. It's just when they have those weeks where their opponent's quarterbacks go off, they're definitely going to take the L more times than not.
Yeah, team 10 going 4 running backs in a row. Bold strategy, Cotton.
That is. I don't know if you follow the FF Dynasty guys. They push running back like no tomorrow. I love those guys, Casey and Jay Wayne and Big Co. They are running back heavy. I feel like this would be a team like them. They love getting their running backs because you talk about it, it's hard to trade for quarterbacks. It's really hard to trade for young, good, talented running backs. And they have 2 off the rip there with Najee and Javonte Williams. They take a win-now guy with Henry and then Gibson. It's probably getting to okay value. I didn't take him at the 312 because I have questions with him and what the Commanders think about him as a workhorse back. But yeah, I like some of those people that you pointed out. I think the only other I pointed out before, but Sutton, Juju, and Mike Williams, kind of that range in the eighth round, the end of the eighth round. I think that's a really good area. If I would do something different, I'd maybe wait, even though this is a three wide receiver league, I'd wait on T. Higgins, even though I love him. I probably want to be a little bit stronger at running back than Barkley, CEH. And I probably would have waited on T. Higgins, because if my top running wide receivers are Godwin, Bateman, and Cooks, I'm not in Claypool. I'm not worried about that still. And I could have gotten maybe Kamara, ETN, Chubb, Ken Walker, Dobbins. They, those guys all went after I passed on, or I took Higgins and passed on running back, because the guys I was hoping to make it back to me were Monty and Josh Jacobson. So I just kind of had to drop a tier, and then I ended up dropping another tier. So if I could redo this, that'd be something I'd do, is make sure I get my second running back probably by the fourth round. Not that you have to force it, but there's definitely I'm going to pay at running back each week.
Yeah, probably what would have been me is like going ETN, and then instead of taking Pittman, taking Montgomery, and then I would have had Elijah Moore as my wide receiver three, and I would have been okay with that. You know, and then having feel pressed to take Cook in the seventh, that would probably would have been my biggest change. Because I do like Montgomery as a player, but I'm glad I took ETN where I did, because that was after that, it was a lot of running backs off the board, and it was kind of in that. And, or even taking, you know, here, I wish Aaron Jones made it back to me in the sixth. I still love Aaron Jones. One of my favorite players to watch. So that would have been cool too. But
yeah, I think wide receiver is deep because of how good the classes have been in 2021 and now 2022. So if that's a little tidbit, as your young wide receivers are going to drop a little bit just because there's so many of them. And then maybe the tip is, hey, that second running back, take maybe one of those guys at age 25, 26. Now, you know, you're not going to have them for the long haul, but if they fall to that fifth round, or where did Zeke and them fall? Is that the sixth round? Seventh round, right? Like that has to be fantastic value. You know, you're not going to get long-term value out of that. But if you're talking about win now, he's a fantastic running back too, for at least the next year and a half, 2 years. That's that's a really good pick in my opinion. And James Conner was the other one that I just barely missed out on. So any other like lasting thoughts, just in general startup, any lasting tips? We didn't even talk about trading because we couldn't trade in this, but I think that's super important. If you feel like your tier broke, especially when you're at the ends, like I was, if you need to get back in, if there's a run going and you're like, man, this is the last guy of the tier, I need to jump up and get him. Don't be afraid to trade. It's hard to gauge value, but the way you do it is you ask people. I know Doug and I are always going back and forth on, hey, what do you think about this trade? What do you think about this? Ask a group of people. We have our Discord, the TFA Discord. You guys can jump in there absolutely free. Ask your questions dynasty-wise. We're here to kind of help and give our thoughts as well. So any lasting thoughts before we get out of here?
I think in startups, you know, I usually try to be like water and be fluid in startups. But I think as I've started to do more of them, I think I want to decide, you know, in the first couple of rounds, like, am I going to try to win now, or am I going to try to go youth movement? Because if you try to go win now, like you can pick up, like you said, Zeke in the seventh, even a DeAndre Hopkins was like in round eight. Now I know he's going to miss six games, but Hopkins is going to play for a while. Like his game is like Larry Fitzgerald. He can play for a long time. So you can smash like Kelsey in the third and just win. If you want to win the first couple of years of the league, you can do it.
Yeah.
But it's something that you want to decide going in. I kind of like the younger builds with year one and year two, because it's fun to see those players, you know, hit, and then some of them don't hit, which is just a reality. But I think going into it, you have to kind of decide in the first couple of rounds, depending on how it shakes out, like look at what you got and be like, all right, I can win now with these guys and I can really push it win now. Or, you know what? I think there's a lot of youth that I can get. Because you're going to take advantage in Dynasty. The younger players are going to go earlier. The older players are going to go later. And they're going to present a lot of value because they're still, you know, number twos at their position. So, yeah, I mean, you can really decide what you want to do in the moment. But I think going in, you're like, all right, I want to win the first couple of years of the league because that'll pay for the next 5 years. Like, some people think that way too, and I'm okay with that. But and quarterbacks, I mean, there was a lot of quarterbacks left. That were startable. I mean, Matt Ryan, Wentz, you know, even guys like Trubisky, like you could have started kick the can on quarterback down the road. And then the rookies were still left with Willis and Ritter. So I don't think you have to be pressured into taking a QB2. You're going to see them all fly off the board, and that's when you kind of have to be, am I going to jump on the train or am I going to do something different?
Yeah, we know in startups, sometimes they go 28 rosters, right? They go 28 rounds or 26, sometimes even 30 rounds. Yep. I think that's something that I try and hit, is that when people are looking at Drew Locke and they're looking at Geno Smith and Mitchell Trubisky and a lot of these guys they think are gross, those are guys I'm hammering in those later rounds, probably the teens, because all it takes is two or three games and that guy's value just skyrockets. And if you don't like the guy, just flip him. Just flip him, especially when we have a good draft coming up. Someone needs quarterback. They go down all the time. Running backs go down all the time. So there's nothing that increases value like a starting quarterback in these super flex leagues. I'm taking backups, right? With my last maybe three or four picks, I'm like,
absolutely,
Dak Prescott's backup, Cooper Rush, or you know, these backups that you know have performed for a game or two and they have some talent, take them, because they get starting, they're a starter for 5-6 weeks. You can absolutely take them and flip them and increase the value.
Yeah, for quarterbacks, especially with a 2023 class that's as deep as we all think it's going to be, you know, a second round pick, if there's anything I'm targeting, I did it in 2019. I wanted to get as many second round picks in the 2020 class as I could because I really liked that class and it worked out well. So I think if you know that ahead of time, you might be able to take advantage of that and like, hey, like get a second. And then if you have like 2-3 seconds, then you can kind of move your way around the board and get the players that you want. It gives you a lot more flexibility to add to your team. And same thing in startups. If you want to move out of a spot, especially if you're win now, you can do that a lot because people want to get the younger players, be like, all right, you can move up spots. Give me a second round pick or a third round pick, like to do that. And I think you can start to build that, you know, you can build a win now team, but still build a war chest of picks.
Yep.
Where you can do that kind of like, I'm win now, but I'm adding younger pieces through the draft in the next couple of years. So there's a transition period where you're not necessarily stuck in like a stripped down complete rebuild.
Yep. That's something Tom and I are going to focus on this summer here in June and in late May, is we're going to start to put out these videos, you know, startup tips and tricks, how to trade during the startup, how to value people in Dynasty. Those are videos that we want to throw out to people because it's so tough and it can change from league to league. But if you just have the ground basis, how to use calculators, right? Dynasty calculators, don't live by them, but use them to kind of get a general gauge of what the consensus thinks. I think a lot of those things are things that we want to tell to our Dynasty listeners. And I know you guys at DHH are doing a lot of stuff. You guys are going Sundays. Remind the people what time you're going and what – do you have any guests coming up? Tell us a little bit about your stuff there.
Yeah, so we just did a fun food mock with our friend Bo and Scott Simpson, and that was a lot of fun. So we were, you know, we drafted and compared players to food. We've done it in the past with Matt Price with animals. Yeah. So it's a really fun episode to do. You know, it's hilarious. But we're going live every Sunday at 9 p.m. You can catch us on YouTube. We go live Facebook as well. And you can listen to the podcast. Tyler usually uploads it on Monday mornings now. You know, we don't have a ton of guests coming up soon. But we have guests coming up, but I don't want to spoil anything.
There you go. Keep it a secret.
Or keep it a secret. So you got to tune in to the Dynasty teaser. Happy Hour. You can find us on all the different podcast networks, especially iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. We're everywhere. You know, if you're looking for some fun, some dad jokes, some really good Dynasty analysis, come and join us. I've been with DHH now for a handful of years. We're over 300 episodes now. You know, one of the OG Dynasty podcasts. So yeah, DHH is a lot of fun, and come and listen to me host and try to keep the guys together. Follow me on Twitter at the Fantasy Father. Always looking for more followers. I don't tweet a lot. I'm more of I collect the data in my brain. I should tweet out my thoughts more often. And I'm trying to get better with that. I'm trying to balance being on Twitter too much and not enough.
Yep.
It's a weird thing.
Ongoing battle.
But yeah, so you can always reach out to me if you've got Dynasty questions or redraft, IDP, DFS. I play in every format, so you can follow me there, and that would be awesome. But yeah, thanks for having me on, Robbie. I had a great time, and I would love if this was a real team because it'd be fun to watch it grow, right? You know, have the year 1, 2, and 3 players is always fun.
Yeah, eventually they're going to do that, right? They're going to let you do a mock and they're going to just show you like the best ball score at the end of the year. And maybe that's just what best balls are. Like, well, we should just do best balls and then we can track these a little bit better. But yeah, I think that I really appreciate you jumping on. We'd like to see, hey, how do you draft from the middle? How do you draft from the end? And just pick your dynasty mind a little bit. You're somebody that I followed for a long time when I got into it. Something that I go back and forth with a lot on trades. So at DaFantasyFather is him on Twitter. And then I'm at NFL Robbie. And we're going to see you guys next time. We'll be right back.